Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Dynasty Tradecast, brought to you by MyBookie.ag, the official sportsbook of RotoViz Radio. I, as always, am your host, Eric Bertzloff, better known on Twitter as @DynastyTrades, joined by my two co-hosts and no guests this week. We have Dan and Nathan. Nathan, you survived a hurricane.
I survived a hurricane. Thoughts and prayers to those who were affected more than I, but I came out okay. Didn't have power at my place until like Saturday. Thankfully, I just stayed at my parents', so didn't have to worry about that.
Yeah, I think it's safe to say I was more stressed for you than you were stressed for you, based off of like the. I was like, "Hey, dude, prayers to your family, man." You're like, "Yeah, no, we got this." I was like, "Okay, cool. Like, you sure you don't want to evacuate, Nathan?" You're like, "No, we got this."
No, because of like snacks and bottled water and stuff. It's like, yeah, whatever. We're just gonna chill and have popcorn and sing Kumbaya.
I'm like, run. No.
I'll be honest. I was like yelling at my mom, like, we need to get out of here. Like, when it was looking really bad. And she's like, no, we're going to stay here. I'm like, well, I'm not going to leave my family. So all went well with that. What all hasn't went well is the NFL landscape right now. It's pretty ugly.
Dude, I mean, well, first off, like, does anyone have a player they can start on their roster right now that is anybody's – actually, better question. Is anybody's IR not completely full right now?
That's actually a new thing with something I hadn't really ever accounted for when talking about how many IR spots are in the league. Many leagues are switching to unlimited IR spots, and it makes sense because, you know, 2-3 years ago, the IR meant, okay, they're done for the season, they can't come back, whereas now it's only an 8-week minimum. So there are many players that go on IR who return midway, halfway through the season. So it's definitely a way to, you know, get some extra roster spots while your players get out, and as well as just a way to, basically another way to stash guys.
Yeah, I mean, as long as people aren't really spamming it, it's fine. But it is just, I mean, I worry about with that IR, like people just spam and pick up like IR players that just wouldn't be on anybody's team anyway. And they can just sit there, I guess, and you can wait all through summer. So I don't know. Unlimited seems a bit much, but I certainly have no problem with expanding beyond two, like most leagues have, or one. So there's definitely that. So pretty frustrating week again. I thought week one was going to be the worst. I think week two won. That was I damn near lost Survivor when Seattle was favored by like 14 points. That was ridiculous.
I had Oakland.
Yeah, I mean, well, Oakland was obviously the obvious pick, but I figured, you know, I'll take Seattle. Well, now I'm happy because Seattle's clearly not any good. I guess, did you guys do any sports betting this weekend?
We always like to gamble little bits here and there. I think I broke even. I'm still ahead on some DFS sites, but prop betting this week was decent. I'm still ahead for the year, which is nice. Nathan, how
is
about
that,
you?
Is that what you do? You do prop bets? Is that really the method of gambling you like?
I mean, it's just kind of fun. You see some of the goofy stuff out there, like player will have this many catches in this quarter, and it's like, okay, well, that's kind of silly. I'm gonna take the over, or I'm gonna take the under. And I mean, it's there's not a lot of places you can find actual good props or ones that you can actually enjoy, and a lot of them are just like, okay, who's gonna win the game? Here's the line. Here's this. It's like, who cares about that? We want fun stuff.
All right, you're like, is it like the national anthem for every game?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. First mumbled word or you know, first dog to run across the field or stop and take a dump.
Well, you know, my favorite place to place prop bets, it's mybookie.ag. MyBookie has been in business for years. Their rep is rock solid. They do 100% cash bonuses, so off the bat you're making money for doing absolutely nothing. I say it every week when I read this ad. I'm an expert at doing nothing.
That's true.
Yeah, we're not going to argue with you on that one.
Seriously.
Yeah. I mean, MyBookie is awesome. It's sponsored. It's obviously sponsors this pod. So they treat us good. And as part of a RotoViz promotion we're doing right now, if you sign up this month with the promo code TRADECAST, forward us a copy of your sign-in confirmation to rotovizradio@gmail.com. You'll be entered in a drawing to land a limited edition RotoViz athletic jacket. So you get some sweet swag. Sweet swag is a tough
sweet
thing.
Swag.
Yeah, sweet swag. You get that. And I mean, I don't think it says TradeCast on it anywhere, but Yeah, man, that would be sweet to have some letter jackets, say TradeCast. So anyways, go to MyBookie. You can deposit money, and then forward us your confirmation. We'll announce the winner on a future episode. So that's a cool promotion we're doing with MyBookie.ag. It's a cool site if you're fed up with where you're sports betting or want to get into sports betting. I highly recommend going over to MyBookie.ag. All right, getting into the show now. I guess the topic of today's show is like, what a dumpster fire the NFL is right now. What do we do? Like, actually, the show name might literally be like a picture of a dumpster fire, like a dumpster fire emoji.
Do we have to rebrand? Are we going to go with the Dynasty Dumpster Fire?
That's a hilarious name, for the record.
Yeah, landscape is not looking good right now. I mean, just looking at the first. At the first position, looking at quarterback, your top three right now, without not counting the Monday night games, but you know, as of through the Sunday games, we have Alex Smith, Carson Wentz, and Trevor Siemian. I forget what order they're in, but those are your top three quarterbacks in fantasy right now. So those of you with Breeze and Winston, obviously Winston had a bye, but it's just. It's not great right now. No one's getting hurt in that. Well, other than Andrew Luck being still dead,
and Cam Newton, didn't he get banged up at the end of the game? I mean, it's just a bloodbath out there.
Yeah, it's really not good. And running back is another one that's kind of all over the board. These rookies have kind of lived up to all their hype, and I think we're just going to see their dynasty value continue to rise. I'm not sure if Kareem Hunt's value can rise any higher. I saw a poll the other day. That was Kareem Hunt or OBJ, and it was like 51-49 OBJ.
No, I legitimately saw David Johnson or Kareem Hunt, and Kareem Hunt was winning, and I like legitimately reposted that poll and was like, Twitter, you're serious right now? You're serious, Twitter? That's what's happening? Although, I mean, I don't know. If he keeps doing this for four more weeks, it's going to be pretty tough to argue with that.
I'm going to get a little takey on that one. I've never been a David Johnson guy. I wasn't a Kareem Hunt guy. But
here we go.
But the age difference and, I mean, health, at this point, you just have to take what the running backs are doing now. And David Johnson is a glorified wide receiver. I mean, that's just what he is. And Kareem Hunt is doing everything. Obviously, we're not going to expect 50-yard touchdown runs every single game, but he's getting up there. I would still take David Johnson right now, but I can't call it crazy for people bailing and going with the points.
I mean, that's pretty crazy, but I mean, sure. If you're of the philosophy that, like, well, first off, you're not going to find a value on the guy. You're going to have to pay 2-3 first at this point.
Oh, yeah. You have to way overpay to get him.
I was about to say, he is the hottest commodity on the market right now.
All right. The other running backs that I'd like to talk about is the rookie running backs so far. Joe Mixon has shown very little, and it's kind of, it's kind of pushing him behind. A lot of people are going to end up taking Kareem Hunt over him. No one was doing that during rookie draft season.
Nope.
And then when you look at Dalvin Cook and Leonard Fournette, both have shown flashes in their first two starts. But yes, he ran for 120 yards on Monday Night Football, but I don't think Dalvin Cook has looked amazing in his first two starts to where his value should of substantially increased. So, well, I think that I'm pumping the brakes a little bit on the people who are in love with the performances of Cook and Fournette early.
To me, Fournette really hasn't looked that good. Like, all things considered, Fournette, like, if you like actually watching him play, I think Dalvin looks slightly better than Fournette, but Fournette's getting all the love. But I'm just not seeing Fournette look as explosive as I was expecting him to.
It's there. It's just not. It's not as consistent. It's almost like, I'm going to try on this play, and then okay, we'll take this snap off. And I'm not saying that he's taking snaps off, but it just doesn't seem as consistent as we'd like it to be. Obviously, we want to assume he's fully healthy, but maybe there's something lingering there that's kind of holding him back. Again, total speculation. But as far as Dalvin Cook goes, I think we're seeing him do all of the right things and do a lot of things actually surprisingly well, but he's still a rookie. He's still learning the game. He's still learning how to do certain things, especially in that offense that isn't really all that great, especially after missing Sam Bradford this week. But we see Delvin out there pass blocking and picking up blitzes. You know, there's an occasional miss, but rookies are going to do that. Rookies are going to miss.
And he looks exceptional in the passing game too.
Right. And he's getting that corner when they have those outside sweeps. I mean, those are things we saw in college, and that's what made us love him. And then it was like, oh, the combine, he's super slow. He'll never get a corner in the NFL. Well, let me tell you about folks. He's getting cornered in the NFL.
Is there a lesson to be learned there? Like, is there a lesson that, like, I know that habitually we overreact to the combine, but he had a historically bad combine, and everybody moved him from their chalk 101 to the 105, and people were like drafting him even later than that because of the hatred. It definitely was snowballing. So I guess, is there a lesson here to be learned that like the combine means literally nothing? I just don't believe that to be true, but I guess I'm just trying to make heads or tails of what we can do as dynasty players in the offseason to make better decisions here.
I think that's just more of things that happen every year. There's going to be a player that blows up the combine that ends up rising in rookie drafts that shouldn't. There's going to be a guy that doesn't improve it, doesn't prove as well in the combine as we thought, like a Dalvin Cook, and he'll drop down draft boards a little bit. And sometimes it's warranted because of the fact that your combine play is also heavily connected to where your draft capital is. I think if Dalvin Cook blows up the combine, he ends up being taken in that 20 to 25 round overall range. But yeah, because he had a subpar combine, NFL teams took notice and ended up falling to the middle of the second round. Not a drastic drop where it should have like destroyed his dynasty value, but enough of a drop to where if the NFL teams care about it, I'm going to care about it.
I mean, to me, it struck me as perhaps I ignored college production too much and put too much love in that athleticism and in the profile of the combine.
Maybe. I think it's a flaw, not only at our level, but at the NFL level as well. I mean, pushing a guy down that far, even for the NFL standpoint, pushing him into the second. I mean, we pull a lot of information from draft capital with these guys. You know, obviously you want to see guys have first round draft capital and, oh, he's going to do this and they're going to use him because they spent that pick, and somebody sliding down into the second. I mean, it's still the second, which you're still getting good players in the second, but we moved him down because they moved him down. It was kind of a flaw on both sides. So I think the process, I think it was just a fair process because we were just kind of going with the flow. There was a lot of people that stuck by it and said, this guy is still, you know, still top three, top four, whatever. And then there was others that were saying, okay, well, we're going to take everybody and then Mike Williams and then Dalvin Cook. I think it's just kind of an errored process top to bottom.
Okay, well, let's parlay off of that because I think that segues into our next discussion. And that's for Tariq Cohen. It's another guy that we avoided, like that got no love and had some decent draft capital, actually, that for the most part we just ignored. And then the smoke started coming out of training camp, and now he's literally on fire. So I guess, what are we doing with Cohen? We talked about him a little bit last week. Howard looks bad. Honestly, the Bears look just horrific. Not as bad as the Bengals. All right. RIP Bengals, RIP. God, there's some bad teams. Like, they should just trim the league by like five teams this year because there are many bad teams. I'm like, okay.
You could take out a good 10 teams and be comfortable. And there's probably only a handful of good players.
And still there'd be bad quarterbacks.
Right.
I mean, that's true. Well, that's like, okay. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Well, I mean, that guy can't get on the field. So what are you going to do?
Yeah, so talking about the Bears running back situation, I think that Howard just goes to say that, you know, you shouldn't invest early round capital, whether it be dynasty or redraft, in a running back who's going to be on a bad team that hasn't shown the ability to catch the ball or be effective in the passing game. Jordan Howard is a guy that, you know, in order for him to have success, he has to get touchdowns. He has to be a part of an offense that's leading in games, and I don't see that being part of his future, at least this season. So I think that Cohen was an interesting stash from the perspective of, oh, they're going to have to throw the ball a lot, and he's the receiving back in that backfield. He's certainly doing better than the initial expectations, but I still don't see like a huge like upside with it. I think he has more of a, you know, Shane Vereen type. I mean, that's the one we always point to, the Shane Vereen role. But I see that as a role that you can get fantasy points from, but if you just faded all those guys, you might be better off for it.
Fade everybody on the Bears is what you're saying.
No. Fade the Tariq Cohen running back profile.
Oh, I see. I don't think I agree with that, especially in a PPR setting. I think I'm kind of on Team Cohen at this point. I'm kind of good with it. If you're willing, I think you have to pay a first now, which I think is starting to get into crazy land. I mean, do you really see Cohen going for a second in any of the leagues that you're in?
I haven't seen him moved, mostly because I have him a lot. I'd say probably in half.
Yeah.
He was a fourth round, fifth round flyer target of mine just because of the fun athletic profile that we saw.
And the draft capital.
Right. And there was some draft capital there, you know, reminds me a lot of the Darren Sproles archetype. And we didn't even get to see Darren Sproles have meaningful touches for a long time. And I think that's another kind of important thing. We're getting these touches now. And obviously the Bears know what they have. They have something kind of just, maybe it's a flash in the pan type of guy.
He's like a utility player. He can do all sorts of fun things and is an all around good football player.
And he's not a world beater. He's not your elite prospect. He's not anything that's going to win a league. He might win a week, but he's not going to be, you know,
at the rate that injuries are coming, he might win you a league if he stays healthy.
That's also possible. It could be the Tyreek of 2016, you know, reincarnate here. As far as Jordan Howard goes, another guy that I didn't like last year. It was getting a ton of touches on a bad team, like Nathan said. And it's tough to sustain that. There was a lot of guys that went crazy on him. His ADP got into like the second. It was like early to mid second, right? That's way too early.
But he was Todd Gurley.
Right. He was getting the touches and he was putting up decent points on a bad team. I mean, it was there, but at the same time, like Nathan said, you can't really rely on that kind of stuff. So. We just kind of, I don't know that it's the death of Jordan Howard. That's definitely an overreaction, but I think we're probably just going to see a two down back split, and it might even see some of them out there at the same time. I don't think we're going to see a clear bell cow role anymore, but I also think Cohen's probably just going to play a lot more receiver because they have absolute dead bodies in Chicago.
Okay, let's talk dynasty value because I breezed on it. Because dynasty value for Howard probably going into this season, you were talking about a first and something of value, probably first and a half valuation, maybe a little bit more at that second round valuation. If you had to purchase Howard today, what's the max buying dollar that you would give for him?
I wouldn't give more than an early second.
Wow.
Damn. You know, my previous valuation – even when his market was way high, and that's why I owned zero shares, was like the 108, 109. I don't think it changes much off of that because he's doing, and obviously he's worse than we probably thought he was going to be. But
yeah, this year, yes.
He is what we thought he was, or those of us that were reasonable about it thought he was. So I think still a late first, you know, in that 110, 111 range. Obviously we're going to be talking about late projected 2018 first now because no one's having rookie drafts anymore. But you can kind of ballpark those picks even this early in the season. You can kind of tell when a team is going to be either really good or really crap. So ballparking picks now is kind of okay to do. So yeah, late first. If I could get him for a second, I'd actually probably go out and buy a bunch, but I don't think you can get him for that quite yet.
Yeah, I mean, one more bad game, we might be talking here. So I think those valuations are fair. And then Cohen, I mean, you guys kind of scoffed at my first round valuation. Okay, maybe this is a better question. Who's worth more right now, Cohen or Howard? Or are they even valuation now?
I'm still taking Howard over Cohen because he has more of the profile of a guy who can get, you know, 18 to 20 carries per game.
I think that might be by the wayside at this point. I think he's going to be more of a 12 to 15 unless they're up in a game for some reason, which I don't see happening. And then they just feed him.
Right. But we are talking about, we're not assuming that like the Bears are going to be bad forever and Mitchell Trubisky's a bust and all these other things. I mean, maybe you're factoring that into your evaluation with Howard, but yes, they might not have a positive outlook as far as game script this year, but I wouldn't really put that past this year.
But we were hoping for a positive game script from Jeremy Langford, however many couple of years ago, and he got Jordan Howard, and now Jordan Howard's getting Tariq Cohen. So I think it's just a progression in what the Bears like to do, and they just like to use fresh legs and throw things at people that they're not used to and they don't remember seeing. Obviously, Jeremy Langford wasn't any good either. But I think this just might be a thing. Don't invest in running back like everyone always says to do. Don't, even at the NFL level, don't invest in running back. Use the guys how they're supposed to be used. you know, Jordan Howard's a two-down guy. Cohen is a pass catcher. They're using them sort of correctly, even though Howard was horrible last week or this week. Cohen, I mean, he's got to be in that same ballpark, but for your money, you have to go Howard right now, just because, like Nathan said, there is way more potential for touches, whereas Cohen is your hope for a touchdown and six or seven catches kind of guy to get the same amount of points that Howard's going to get on 15, 20 carries and probably a score.
Okay, let's move on to a different topic, and let's talk about how the top three running backs are injured or just not showing up to school every day here for the first 2 weeks. I'm talking about Le'Veon Bell, Zeke, and David Johnson. Is this, I guess the way I phrase this question, and I know the answer in my own head, but I'll phrase it to you guys, is this kind of regression for this like overvaluation in the off season of, or was there an overvaluation? And is this regression for running backs kind of harping on what Dan's been saying?
From a dynasty perspective, I've always said the fact that three of them were going top five in dynasty this offseason never made much sense, because it's like what was happening in like 2012 when we had this many running backs in the top five and then they end up getting injured or regressing in skill level. I don't think there's a regression in skill level or play from Ezekiel Elliott or Le'Veon Bell. I think it's just a coincidence of two games that weren't, you know, spectacular for either of them. I think that, you know, as matchups get easier, as their offense get more in tune as the season moves on, then I think that both will recover and be scoring, you know, those 20, 25-point games. Basically, they're going to be having Kareem Hunt-type games sooner or later.
Well, I mean, I guess what I'm saying is, because the expectation out of those guys was always having those Kareem Hunt games. And I think that expectation for elite running backs, like being a lock for 20 points a game, is an unfair expectation. And that's why you shouldn't be taking them that high early on. And they have such short shelf lives, too.
Especially with these, well, and we can, you know, obviously short shelf life, you put David Johnson already on the IR, but talking specifically about Zeke and Bell, they've both got a lot going on right now. Zeke still got the, you know, the suspension looming over his head. He didn't even look like he was in the freaking stadium yesterday. It was, he was horrible. It didn't even look like he was.
Yeah, trapped. That thunderstorm hit and then he just didn't come back on the field.
Yeah, he wasn't even out there before the thunderstorm. And then Bell, you know, he held out. He wasn't with his team. He didn't do any of that stuff. So, and you want to think that these guys that are, you know, world-class athletes and elite football players can just walk from, you know, the locker room out onto the field and be the same guy. It takes reps to get going, and you can't just go from 0 to 100. I mean, it's going to take a little time. I think that week four kind of cutoff is where we're going to start seeing these guys. Well, one of them might be suspended by week four, but I think it's probably going to be that's very true. I think it'll be kind of a minimal output until they kind of get their legs under them. And dynasty outlook, I don't think much changes. I wasn't taking anybody early in the first round. They obviously still have that value, but
maybe some of our listeners were, though. So I guess that's where let's talk new world valuation, because I agree with you. I think that this is just like sometimes even stud players can put up a turd. In this case, I guess that you're seeing a couple of them, and David Johnson's honestly just unfortunate. I don't have any real concern about him other than the fact that he's just not going to be producing this year. If we're doing a startup draft today, where would you advise the listeners to start grabbing one of those elite running backs, and who would you grab first if you're doing one for let's say next year in this case?
I think I'm still going Zeke one, just because of the combination of age, offensive line, just offense, young offense emerging. So I'd take Zeke around that 7-8 range, and then maybe drop Bell and DJ to the, you know, 10-12 range.
Okay.
Yep. I'm not going to argue that at all. That's exactly what I would say. Once you get through those top, what are we at? Seven elite quote unquote wide receivers. I don't know if we want to throw Sammy up in that realm quite yet. He's probably still an early second.
Cooper Kupp's better than him, so.
Yeah, once you get through, you know, Julio, Antonio Brown, OBJ, Evans, Cooper, that's kind of when you can start talking about one of the running backs. And for me, it's still Zeke. Hopefully we get the suspension out of the way and he gets his head on his shoulders and he's no longer a moron.
Okay.
Which won't happen.
Yeah, no, it's not going to happen. So I think that that's interesting, and I think it does just speak higher. And I think that the whole, like, if I had to summarize the first half of this episode, I would say it's basically us saying don't put high dynasty stock in running backs. And if you can get a lot of value for them, sell them and go with a you know, more running back by attrition type method of just stringing together a zombie running back on a week-to-week basis. But on the topic of dealing with injuries, there is one place where you don't have to worry about injuries for next week. So, Dan, why don't you tell us about our sponsor, Draft?
Guys, I've talked about it before. Draft is, what do the kids say, lit? It's
oh, good yeah. Lord. Draft, we're sorry that he's using that term.
Hey, the kids are saying it. I'm just going with it. Seriously, though, guys, this app is the real deal. It's, you know, that it's your home for daily fantasy. I really can't say much more than that. You get head to heads, you get small groups, you can do, you know, 3, 4, 5, 6, whatever you want to do. And you can play for pretty much any amount of money. And it's fun. And the app is way user friendly. It's super clean. I don't even know what else you can say about it. It is the best daily fantasy app right now. Also, if you use our promo code RVRadio, limited time only though, you do get a free entry into a draft when you make your first deposit. So throw a few bucks in there, free entry with RVRadio.
Okay, well, yeah, Draft is an amazing app. So I agree with Dan. Go check it out. I think that's the future of fantasy in a short-term basis. So before we get into kind of our value predictions, Swami hat type look at things, let's talk about tight end because it truly is a bloodbath in tight end. It looks like we're losing Gronk. Looks like Eifert's going out. I feel like I'm forgetting one or two of them.
Olsen's broken foot.
Oh, Olsen. Yeah. I mean, it was like every time I refreshed Twitter, something bad was happening to a tight end somewhere.
It's not good, and it's never been good. This is an abomination of a position. It was always Gronk and then everybody else, go get Gronk, Gronk, Gronk. And the worry was always the injuries, and I don't know if he left the game or if it was just kind of like came up limp or whatever. It's a tough position to get anything with. You almost forced to wait on tight end and just kind of bail and get guys like Charles Clay and Jared Cook. Because wasting picks, you're begging for an injury.
I guess that's the question is what guys are you trying to grab? Because I feel like if you grab one of those later guys that you're staring at like 3 points on a weekly basis, where that gets difficult too.
3 is better than 0 though. So
I mean, that much better than 0 though. I mean, like if I'm talking about like having 3 points because I'm like praying Janu Smith does something on the field. Like, I mean, it just seems like such an outrageous position. And it almost frustrates me that like I have to start one of these guys because it just doesn't seem like it's a position that I don't know. It's just like one guy is going to get lucky and win the tight end lottery. And currently it's Kelsey. Kelsey, you are the winner of the tight end lottery currently.
Yeah, I've always said Robert Gronkowski, Tyler Eifert, they're not injury prone. Tight ends are injury prone. They're the position that gets injured the most. And, you know, it's because they're blocking, they're receiving, they have so many roles on an offense.
Yeah, and their size, too, is awkward on the field. They're just – you can take low hits.
And for the good ones, the way they play, I mean, they're just trying to just punish anyone that's trying to take them down. I mean, you watch the way Gronk plays, he just runs through everybody. And that's, again, just begging for an injury.
Yeah, so you talked about not playing a tight end, Eric. I've seen some leagues recently where they have like a wide receiver tight end spot instead of a tight end where the tight end position becomes optional. And in those type of leagues, like unless you're getting like Gronk in like the fourth round, it's almost, you know, just best to completely fade the tight end position. But, you know, in leagues that you do have to start a tight end, it's more about just I'm trying to get the absolute cheapest points possible. Even if I know I'm only going to get 6 to 8 points every week, I'd rather have that then invest highly and maybe get, you know, a 14, 15-point week.
Yeah, I mean, this year, like Austin Hooper, who's somebody I like, I think he's like a nice stream option. But, yeah, it's true. Like, you just got to have a couple – you got to have a couple guys that are there. And, yeah, in the opposite of what you're talking about, Nathan, in playing in a zero-start tight end, I currently play in a two-tight end starting league and don't have one to field right now. I'm looking at you, Patrick. Why are you running a league with two tight ends to get started?
Oh man, at least it's not a three quarterback league. I spent most of the off season going after Kyle Rudolph, Zach Ertz, guys like that.
The uninjured just, ones.
Well, I'm hoping that they stay healthy, even though Rudolph has a history of injuries, Ertz has a history of injuries. Again, tight ends have a history of injuries. It's not just specific guys. They're going to get hurt. So it's just it is hard to find those points. You know, you just kind of have to play the values, whoever's coming off cheap and has potential for touches. You know, the second Jordan Matthews got traded, I think I acquired Ertz like four times that week. So it's just kind of – it's a timing thing with – especially with tight ends. You have to get in, find usage, and hope and pray they don't get hurt.
Yeah, well, with you.
Hold on. When Zach Ertz gets hurt this week, we're just going to play that on a loop, Dan bragging how he bought so much Ertz.
I got lucky. I know he's going to get hurt. He's going to get hurt in like week 13, right when I need him.
I mean, I've Eifert in like nearly every league, and he's like was my last straw that is going to break the camel's back now if he can't play. So, RIP all of my teams. It was fun playing fantasy this year. It's over now. I don't know. Okay, let me ask a question because this has actually been bugging me a lot in my leagues, and that is, I don't really know what to do. I have injury riddled tight end cores, and actually leagues where their tight end premium are a couple tight ends, and there's nothing on the waiver wire. So if there's nothing on the waiver wire, I guess what dynasty trade mentality are you taking to try? Like, what are your guys' strategies right now to try to build your teams if you do have that situation, or are you just saying screw it, I'm punting this year?
It's like I said, it's all about finding the cheapest possible points, even if they're, you know, a low upside amount of points. The guy we'll talk about in a little bit, Jason Witten, Cameron Brate, basically guys that aren't like Gates, basically everyone who isn't like the next like Antonio Gates. So not Hunter Henry, not Zach Ertz, not guys that have ever been viewed as guys with upside. Take the guys that are viewed as, you know, a limited ceiling and, you know, will actually get targets in their offense.
Okay. I think that's insanely good advice, and probably something that I need to do is just go purchase some old dad runners.
Dad runners, goat. Okay, so we don't quite have a game this week, but we can kind of turn this into a little bit of a game. We're going to do some value predictions, and we've also got some calculator scores associated with these guys. The quarterbacks will have one QB and two QB values, just to give everybody a little perspective. So we'll start with the risers, and these are some just sleeper and or later round guys that have been putting up points. And so we just want to know from each one of us if they're going to go higher, if they're going to maintain, or if they're going to fall on their face. So let's start with Trevor Siemian. I mean, he's a top three quarterback right now, and who would have saw that coming? We didn't know if he was going to keep his job throughout the year. You know, they brought in Chad Kelly, who went undrafted. They used a first-round pick last year on Paxton Lynch, who was horrible. And now he's apparently a really good quarterback. So, Eric, do you think he's going to maintain this or get better? Or do you think this is just kind of a mirage?
Yeah, let me tell you a story real quick about how I got insane. I was like so desperate and thought I had a chance to win, and ignorantly purchased Trevor Siemian for a second and a third, which I thought was grand larceny at the time, and have since started him in every single game pretty much since doing that. And like into this year, I'm like so thrilled with the value I've gotten out of him. So that's when a donk move turns valuable. You know, I don't know. Like, he looks really good. He doesn't have anything necessarily special, but I think Nathan made the joke that like, if you took out, there shouldn't be enough back. Simeon's going anywhere. I think he has proven that he is dynamic enough to A, functionally run an offense, B, not turn the ball over, and C, make some plays when necessary.
I think that at the very least he's done, and probably Paxton Lynch has done enough on his own account to preventing this as well. He's done enough to where no one's calling for Paxton Lynch's name. No one's going to think that he's going to be getting any starts this year, especially on a team that looks to compete. So, usually, you know, first-round quarterbacks, they, especially ones that are, you know, sitting behind a relatively unproven veteran, you know, traditionally those guys get, you know, unseated quickly, but that's not going to happen here in Denver this year.
And I didn't mention it right away, but Simeon's value on the RotoViz calculator is 3 in a one quarterback league and 10 in a 2 QB league. So from that perspective, I would imagine those numbers are going to get much, much higher. We probably won't see any sort of elite type numbers from a value perspective, but I definitely think he'll start, you know, sneaking up into that high end QB2 type range, just because of the way that the quarterback position has been this year. So I think he's in for some good things. He's got the weapons. He's got a run game. He's got tight ends to use, and his defense is incredible. So I think they're going to be in a good position for most of the near future.
Yeah, I completely agree. And who's that running game again? Who's that really good running back that you like, Dan? I forget his name.
His name be C.J. Anderson.
Oh, C.J. Anderson, the GOAT. Great call, Dan. High five over the microphones for us. All right, let's do this.
I have Vanessa Bean, no big deal.
All right, next on our risers list. A couple of solid weeks, looked really good on Sunday. Chris Thompson, his current RotoViz calculator score is 5, which, again, this has to go up. But Nathan, we'll start with you. How do we feel about Chris Thompson in what was a pretty clogged Redskins backfield?
I think that I was actually going to say this about Simeon, but it can also ring true as well for Thompson. It's going to be one of those things where he's going to have 3 or 4 of these, like, not exactly 25-point games, but he's going to have 3 or 4 more weeks of being like a legitimate fantasy starter in order for his price to actually change. I don't see anyone moving really even a second for him, like even after this big performance. So I think that if you're a believer in him right now, you can still get him at a relative discount. But if he continues playing this well and Rob Kelly and Samaje Perine continue to be not good / just not on the field, then Chris Thompson's price will eventually increase. But I think you have a bit of a window here to possibly buy him before the price increases.
Yeah, I think this is where we finally see Thompson and Perine kind of separate themselves. Because, I mean, Kelly wasn't atrocious by any means, but definitely not good. Not what Perine is, not what Thompson is. So I think we're looking at a committee backfield here. But that doesn't mean that they don't have value. So I think Thompson will move up. And like you said, Nathan, you don't really need to go spend a second on him quite yet. I think you can maybe get him, you know, if you really want him, go spend like a late second. But that still might not even be necessary. But just kind of be leery of Perine, because he can do just about everything a running back needs to be able to do. But it looks like the Redskins are pretty happy with Thompson right now, and they'll continue to use him.
Yeah, I don't know that I have anything to add to that. I think Thompson looks like a sneaky little value, but I'm not sure that he's worth buying right now.
Okay, fair enough. Let's move on to our wide receiver riser, J.J. Nelson. Really solid game again, just kind of like Thompson on Sunday. And it kind of looks like Fitzgerald might be a little bit washed. John Brown's, we don't know, unhealthy. Jaron Brown, I don't know how to say it. The other Brown.
You're running out of Browns.
Too many Browns. He kind of always seemed like a DeSean Jackson boom bust type, maybe even Kenny Stills. Maybe we won't put him on that DeSean Jackson level quite yet, or maybe that's what he's becoming. So Nathan, what do we think about J.J. Nelson? Do we think that Arizona's going to start moving his direction, or is it just kind of fluky?
I think that Jaron Brown, J.J. Nelson, they'll kind of alternate the games where they go off and be very unpredictable. Definitely the type of guys that we've talked about before, stacking guys in a best ball format. If you could stack those two guys in a best ball dynasty league or a best ball league in general, I think those are two guys that will be productive more weeks than not in the near future. But Leo Pasiga, one of our good friends on Twitter, he tweeted out, while everyone's going crazy about J.J. Nelson and, you know, going to pick up Jaron Brown, I'm sitting back and collecting all these Chad Williams shares. So I think that if there's a non-Fitzgerald Cardinal wide receiver to be buying right now, it's not Nelson and Brown at their elevated prices. It's Chad Williams at his same price or even decreased with the play of the other receivers.
Oh, I like the Chad Williams take. That's bringing a name into the fold I haven't heard
Leo's
in a while.
Leo's smart, though. We're not.
I'm gonna say JJ is a guy who I actually kind of believe in here. I do think he's a little boom bust, but his price tag is very, very reasonable. I still don't think even in Dynasty people are that excited about him. Like, I think you could probably get him for third, maybe a late second would get the deal done. I don't think anybody's going to sell for more than that, or expect more than that realistically from Nelson. So I think he's a nice end of bench stash. He's a fantastic best ball stash. I completely agree with that.
Absolutely. And his calculator score was 5, similar to Thompson. I think that's just going to move up.
I'd prefer Nelson at that price.
Yeah, me as well. But,
I think I'd take Thompson there.
Ooh. I think you're wrong.
We're split.
I think that Thompson is going to be the one that you can put in your lineup during bye weeks and injuries and actually count on those points. You'll be hard-pressed to think that J.J. Nelson is dependable.
I think it's a floor versus ceiling play there. And at that point with that level, I think you almost, well, you don't really have to force your hand to take the ceiling. It is nice having that dependable floor on your bench. It's nice having that depth. So I could see that. Now, Nathan, now you're making me rethink my, damn it. Yeah, I have so much Thompson. I think I have to go with Thompson. Okay, so enough of those schmucks. Well, not schmucks. They're going to be good.
Stanley Trevor.
Yeah, you don't call Trevor Siemian a schmuck.
Let's talk about some of our good players that aren't doing so hot right now. So these are our fallers. These are high-end guys that just aren't cutting it. So let's start with Cam Newton. He has looked atrocious. I don't know what they did to him. They drafted Christian McCaffrey and then said, Cam, you need to do this. And all of a sudden, his ears fell off of his head and his eyes popped out, and he's no longer.
We called this.
It's gross. So, Eric, what are we doing with Cam? Do you think this is rock bottom, or do you think it can get worse?
I got to think it's rock bottom. I mean, he's overthrown guys. He looks just bad. I mean, I think the injury is lingering. I think there's something there. If they're not winning football games, they'll start utilizing Cam differently. And that's what I expect to happen here. So I don't think this is a long, I think there is a window that's opening to where Cam's like being treated like a mid range QB, like a late QB1, early QB2. And this is the time to probably purchase him. I'm still a Cam believer. I don't think he's broken like across. I don't think he's purely broken at this point. I think he's going to bounce back.
See, I've been a longtime Cam Newton buyer, Cam Newton supporter in the dynasty format, particularly Superflex. But I'm starting to get a little bit worried long term as to, you know, his floors are outweighing his ceilings. You know, his bad performances are hurting you more than the big performances are helping you. So I know now is not the time to sell, and he'll have, you know, that big 40-point game or that, you know, 100 points in 3-week span. That's going to happen at some point because he has that pretty much every year. But when that span happens, I might be pressed to, you know, try and sell him at that, like, 3-first valuation in Superflex or, you know, a top 40 valuation in one quarterback league. So I think that –
You know, I don't think he's getting that anymore, by the way. I don't think that that's the value that he's seen even going into this year.
I mean, he was still going as a first-round pick in Superflex League, so.
I think a late one, though. I don't think we would see 3 firsts for him just spitballing here.
Yeah, that seems
and
high.
I love Cam.
I was a Cam guy. I think at this point, we just have to put 2015 out of our minds. That was absolutely an outlier. We're not going to see that Cam Newton ever again. But he's not right. I don't know if it's what they're trying to do with him, if it's physically him. I think we might see Cam on a different team maybe next year. The Panthers seem to be moving in a different direction. They seem to want to force the ball down Christian McCaffrey's throat, and I don't really think that's how this is going to work, especially with Cam back there. So I think we may see a divorce in their near future.
I think we most certainly see a divorce from the head coach, and there's my child screaming.
More screaming children. Speaking of little children, our another faller on our list, Brandon Cooks. Baby child for the New England Patriots. I don't know
where
that
productive
the Hopes got
players
higher.
Go to die.
I don't know that the Hopes got higher when he left New Orleans. I think we all just kind of assumed it was a lateral move. into another offense where they like to spread the ball around, but no one spreads the ball around the way the Patriots spread the ball around, because you don't know who's going to play that week and you don't know who's going to get the ball that week. You know, Cooks, we kind of pegged him as the boom bust guy, and it's only been bust thus far. I think he cut one long pass in week one and he get two catches, and one of them was like 60 yards. And then he had a couple of pass interference flags too. So this one is weird for me because it was a lateral move, and I still believe in the talent, but New England's just I don't know. It gives me a headache.
I mean, this is just classic Patriots. It's like, they don't care about your talent. You have to know their system, and that's all they really care about. And like, if you don't respect the system, I actually think I called it, is like, this is not necessarily a good fit for somebody who was like being insubordinate in New Orleans. Like, this is a bad fit for somebody like that. And this, there could be something behind the scenes here too. It could be also I could be overreacting. If you're going to buy Cooks, now is probably the time. But there's a chance he's, stays this way all season, because basically New England's like, yeah, we have you, we traded for you, but we don't need you. We got Philip Dorsett, we traded for him too, and he's a team guy.
He's a team guy. Nathan, Cooks takes.
If there are any Cooks owners that are as crazy as you two, I'm going to be buying from them rather quickly. He's a guy that I still think should be valued in that top 15, top 16 overall in Dynasty. I think that if you're worried about the Patriots destroying an asset, I just don't think it's going to happen. I think that Cooks is going to get his at the end of the day. Having a 2-week slow start does not mean that he's in the wrong place or with the wrong team or has a bad attitude. Cooks, this is prime buying time if anyone's panicking like you two.
I'm not panicking. I don't own any shares, and I probably won't. I'm about a round later in valuation than you, Nathan. I think he, to me, is like an early to mid third kind of guy. Again, because he's good enough. He has the talent. It's the boom bust thing, and it's always been the boom bust thing. So I don't think we see a consistent floor. But going back to what you mentioned earlier on a different player, the ceilings need to outweigh the floors. And right now, that's not really the case.
All right. I think that we've gotten our takes out of the way. So I think that with that being said, I think we need to wrap the show.
With that being said.
Oh,
crap, you guys. I owe
all
of
a remix.
I owe all just of the Eric. Listeners. We should have like the 100th episode, and it's just a remix of me saying that's what, with that being said, for like 40 minutes. So anyways, we're going to wrap the show. As always, I highly recommend you go and rate the RotoViz radio app and mention our name. 5-star reviews are always appreciated. We read those. We really appreciate them. We enjoy the love that we get on the show. With that being said, God, it happened again. I wasn't even trying to do that.
The best part, you weren't trying. That was totally just natural. It just happened.
Just mailing it in. Okay, well, for Dan, Nathan, and myself, we'll catch up with you guys next week. And hopefully week 3, everybody stays healthy. Please, Travis Kelce and Zach Ertz, please.